Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Oh, Vernet America continues, and about 15 minutes from now, we're going to be speaking with AccuWeather, and I really want to talk to them about this potential of snow on Thursday and what we can do to cancel the potential of snow on Thursday. There's got to be something we can do. I'm not a fan of the NFL. I don't watch the games, but I did see ESPN just post something up that during the New York Giants-Dallas Cowboys game today, there was a cat on the field. Nothing better than a good old cat on the field. Rally cat. I wonder how that worked. So the Giants were the home team. Did they win or did they lose tonight? Do you know? Ooh, Cowboys beat them. So rally cat didn't help the home team tonight. But it's kind of fun to see cat on the field. It is more fun to see squirrels and things like that on there. So also this hour, I wanted to talk about a op-ed that Piers Morgan wrote. It's actually really good. You know how they're trying to? John Legend, he's a very popular musician, great voice, and it seems like a well-respected person in the industry. Said that, oh yeah, that baby, it's cold outside. That's the biggest problem in music. Too much, it plays to the rape culture, you know, because such a terrible song that was written with the very suggestive lyrics. Well, Piers Morgan wrote an op-ed about it. It is hilarious. So I'm going to talk about that coming up too in a little bit. Over the weekend on Bill Maher's HBO show, Real Time with Bill Maher. It used to be Politically Incorrect, but it's Real Time with Bill Maher. And I've given credit to Bill Maher. I feel like he is the only person that discusses topics in an actual open way. You don't see that from most people that are far left like he is. No one, I think, on MSNBC or CNN or whatever it is, they don't actually want to have these conversations. And the whole idea for Bill Maher is that he just thrives on the idea that what he's about to say in the discussions and the ideas that you're about to share with an audience, you're allowed to go as far as you want to go with them. You know, you're not going to have this safe space where you have to keep things confined to what the regulations are, what the politically correct thing is. And he wants you to go out there and have honest discussions about things. And he'll bring on conservatives, some very strong-willed conservatives, and he'll debate them, and he'll bring it up in a humorous way. He'll tell jokes, and he'll let you defend yourself. And you don't see that too often. So I give him a lot of credit. And I do like that he does that. I don't agree with him on, 95% of the things he brings up. But, you know, every once in a while, he has some pretty good things. So what he did, he brought on conservative commentator Dennis Prager. He's a radio show host. He does television appearances. I like Dennis Prager. He has Prager U, which is a very popular YouTube channel. He's someone that actually sued YouTube and Google because of the practices of discrimination against conservative users. I think it's good that he did something like that. I mean, he was actually someone that brought it on. PragerU does a great job of trying to bring a historical aspect to certain topics, and he brings in certain people, sometimes celebrities, to bring these topics up on his YouTube channel. Okay, so Dennis Prager, very popular. He writes a lot of books. He's like a scholar. The guy is incredibly intelligent. So when he goes on to Bill Maher, which is not necessarily the intellectuals that would go on and talk about certain topics. Bill Maher's not like a guy that you would lecture to. So he brings up things in a humorous way. So when you go serious and maybe go a little bit further, it's not his cup of tea. I get it. So Dennis Prager was on there, and Bill Maher asked him a question about lying. He says, do you believe the president lies? And this is kind of an interesting answer that he gives.
Dennis, how can you justify saying truth is not a left-wing value when Donald Trump has lied over 13,000 times since taking office? He does lie. You would agree with that?
He does.
Okay. on a level that no one else has ever lied.
No. That I would not say. You see, wait. First of all,
what about like when he makes a phone call? Said he talked to Mitch McConnell, okay. And Mitch McConnell said, we never had a conversation.
Okay.
Has ever a president lied like that?
So allow me to explain my comment.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not right-wing or conservative. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Okay. The left
what
wing.
What does that mean?
The left wing. I'll tell you what it means.
It means nothing.
The left wing is infinitely larger than one person. I don't choose one left wing person who tells a lie. The left wing says, I'll give you gigantic lies, that the United States is a racist country. This is a lie. Wow. This is a gargantuan lie. This is the least racist, multicultural, multi-ethnic country in the history of the world. That these people believe it is proof to me about how effective lying
but you,
can be.
You would,
this is an unbelievably non-racist country.
All right, so I got to applaud Dennis Prager. So look at what he did here when he brought up this argument. And that's not what the headline is. I'll explain to you what the headline is in the story. So they asked him, okay, do you believe Donald Trump lies? And he said, yes. And it's the biggest liar ever. And he goes, no, I wouldn't agree with that. So this is the argument he brings up to Bill Maher. And I think it's a great, great, great argument. The argument is Donald Trump is one person who has lied. Okay. Is he the biggest liar ever? No. And he says, let's compare that to an entire party. So Donald Trump is bigger than the, not bigger, I should say, is Donald Trump. He's not someone that is 100% the Republican Party, much like Barack Obama isn't the Democratic Party. You know, Nancy Pelosi isn't the Democratic Party. They're just one person, but the party is much a bigger thing, right? There's a lot more people into that sort of thing. So his argument is you can say a Donald Trump has said lies or fibbed or stretched the truth or whatever it is. You can argue on some of these things, okay? You can say that and look at those instances. He says, let's look at the platform policies of the left right now. The platform policies is we're a racist country. He says, that's a lie from a party. So a Donald Trump perhaps saying something you disagree with and calling it a lie. Okay, you can argue those things. Let's look at the platform policies. Let's look at the way this one party puts themselves on stage with all the candidates saying we live in the most racist time and the most racist country. He said, that's a much bigger lie. That's an awesome thing for him to go onto a platform and bring up an argument that I think is an awesome argument, which I agree with him on. So then he goes on and he decides to explain some of these other things that are platform lies. And he brings up LGBTQ and he says, the biggest lie is that men can say they are women and they're allowed to do things as if they're women. Women can say that they are men and they are allowed to do things as if they're men, and biology is not a factor. And a lot of times you find that they use this to infringe on some of these other liberties that people have, and they are trying to force someone else to have the same point of view that they disagree with. And they're calling you, you know, transphobic, homophobic, all of these other names because you don't agree with them. He says, that's on the platform. That is what the party stands for right now. And he goes on to Bill Maher, and he says these things. And you can hear the crowds, like, ready to start, you know, pitchfork and start, you know, let's burn this guy at the stake. My goodness. So I wanted to play that for you. I thought that was awesome. And I have much admiration for Dennis Prager. I should email him and see if I can get him on the show, because I was like, way to go, man. Good stuff there. And The interview goes a little bit weird. I guess you can find clips of it online. But on the premise of what he's saying, I totally understand it. All right, we're going to hook up with our friends at AccuWeather in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be getting some snow here before we know it. Just a matter of when. Is it going to be this Thursday or will it be January? I'm hoping that we push it until 2020. But we could be getting a little preview of it here later this week after having a few nice sunny days. We'll find out. That's coming up too. It's Overnight America. KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Hey, welcome back to Overnight America. I want to thank you, yes, you, for hanging out with us tonight. Yeah, it's a little chilly. It's in the 40s tonight, but I think everyone is wondering what's going to happen on Thursday because we pull up the AccuWeather. Meteorologist Dave Bowers, who sent us the complete forecast earlier tonight. Here's what they called for. Cloudy, breezy, much colder, and some rain, which could mix with or change to wet snow. Oh, that is so gross. I hate reading that. Joining us now is AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy. Hey, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, my pleasure.
I always have fun when you're available. So,
yes.
So how serious are we talking snow for Thursday?
Not too serious. I mean, Phew. We do see, I think you're going to see some wet snowflakes, but that'll be about it.
Okay. So you say not too serious. What does that
not
mean?
Not too serious. So that means that you'll, again, have rain coming to an end. You might see wet snowflakes at the end, and then it's still going to be above freezing, so no road accumulation concerns. You might see perhaps a skiff on a colder surface, say like a car top that hasn't been moving. I don't know. Something like that.
Did you say a skiff?
Yes, a skiff. It's not really the best wording for a wet snow, but yeah.
What is a skiff?
A small accumulation.
Okay, I like that.
Very small accumulation.
Another great band name, the Skiffs. So let's say we're here in St. Louis. You look out the window. We could see what would look like a snow globe, but if you look down at the ground, it doesn't look like any of that would be white.
No, that is correct.
Oh, okay, that's good. Are we going to get a lot of moisture, or is this kind of like really light?
It looks very light at this point.
Oh, wow, so there's not a lot to be concerned with.
I don't think so. I hope not, anyway. Just the cold that follows, that's the concern.
I think that most people, like myself, when they see that word snow, they look at that and say, you got to be kidding. It's only November in St. Louis. We shouldn't be getting it this early.
I know, normal highs are in the 60s still.
Oh. Yeah, what's up with that? So this is the Canadian front that's still coming down, and this is what we're getting a touch of on Thursday?
That is correct, yeah.
I got made fun of. I do a weekly interview with a friend up in Vancouver, and we do a crosstalk. We do both the late-night shows. He's through the Chorus Radio Network. He's on a bunch of different radio stations up there syndicated, and then we do this live simulcast of our shows for the segment. And he made fun of us, saying that they're pushing the snow down here, bringing it to us. I didn't like that one bit. So a regular St. Louis November is in the 60s. We're seeing a couple of days, like, you know, mid-50s to upper 50s, and even on Wednesday it looks like we could hit 60 degrees. So is this just like a one freak day, or are we going to see a lot more of these days?
No, unfortunately, it does look like we're in a pretty rough pattern here. That 60 or near 60 on Wednesday is not going to last long. I mean, because we're pushing, as you pointed out, we're dropping down into around 40 degrees for a high on Thursday. I think we have 41 or 30. Mm-hmm. Some of the numbers are pointing to even in the 30s, and then 39 on Friday. So again, we're cold there. We bump up a little bit Saturday and Sunday, but then back into the deep freeze into the mid 30s for highs on Monday and Tuesday.
Deep freeze. So are we going to have to check the forecast every day for a potential of snow at this point?
No, I think we'll eventually get out of this pattern and we'll get back to something closer to average. But boy, in the meantime, it's cold right into the early next week.
Does this, let's say we're playing the old farmer's almanac card. Does this have any indication of what the winter is going to look like this year?
I hate to use any one particular pattern at any particular time to define the season. Mm-hmm. It's really challenging, to pick that out overall for one specific event.
Yeah. You know, I wonder too, because people want to try to find these patterns and they're worried because they see just how early this is happening. And they're going out there with their burlap sacks to cover their plants up and things like that when they get the freeze alerts that are coming through. I just don't like it myself. It concerns me. It concerns me.
I understand. An early shot like this is always a harbinger of some foreboding of some sort.
Like, how far can you forecast out with your projections?
Well, there's a number of variables where you define that. How specific for 3 days out? Sometimes I think our 3 day forecasts are very good. 5 days probably very good as well. 7 days get a little bit trickier, of course, with time. Out to 10, there is some level of confidence to above average, below average. Above with precipitation and temperature. And then you get a little bit trickier as you move past that time. You start using other techniques that involve weather patterns, out in the Pacific Ocean that might define how things are going to go from the 2 to 3, 4 week period. And then after that, it gets another trick. You use different techniques to define how you might predict that weather.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, can you do like 25 days out?
Again, that would probably not be a very good specific forecast in general, but you might get some generalizations where you would have, well, I think it's going to be a below average temperature overall and precipitation above average.
The reason I ask is because that's Thanksgiving. I'm just curious what that's going to look like. Yeah, everyone wants to know. All right, so when you talk about these long-term projections, I'm always fascinated with the way you can look at these things. And how much of this is the discretion of the meteorologist versus what the computer is telling you on the screen?
With the longer range forecast, the discretion of the meteorologist plays a heavy hand in it because they have to interpret what years they like. Now, the computer models help them out, but they also decide which ones to throw out to make sure that they get the best projection possible.
Yeah, because you go to school for this, and you know what you're doing, and you're an expert, and you certainly are certified. You have to get certified to be a meteorologist. Is that the right term, certified?
You have to graduate. You know,
graduate,
you
know,
yeah.
And you have to apply. Like, you have to, like, you have, like, an upkeep. You just don't graduate and you're a meteorologist for life. Don't you have to, like, continue to apply?
Believe it or not, no, you do not have to.
It does
behoove you to continue to work with your education because the field has changed markedly over the years. So if you're not keeping up, you're really, you are definitely falling behind.
Oh, I thought, you know, maybe I had a misimpression of something like that. Yeah, it's not as easy as just, we're going to see what the computer says and I'm going to be an expert. Like, where does your discretion really help? Like, what are the things that a trained meteorologist would be able to do as opposed to someone that goes to the AccuWeather website and looks at a radar?
Well, most of the things are, you know, again, the finer details of which you can always see the rain coming. But, you know, where is the rain snow line? And you use a different technique to find what that might look like. You might discern, looking at a very specific radar, where that develops because of the way snow shows up on the radar. It's a little bit smoother looking, less variation between some of the color bands, so you can kind of see that a little bit easier. You could see where cloud tops are developing a little more strongly, and you can discern where maybe severe weather is going to develop. So
I like some of these techniques. Is there any good names for a technique like the Southern Bell technique or anything like that?
There probably is, and on the spot, I can't think of anything at this moment.
Well, I'm good at putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
All right. So, AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy joining us, and yes, we'll put you on the spot. Our friends in Glasgow, Montana. How do you think they're doing?
I think they're cold, too. I did look them up, as I always do, because I know you ask about them. But they're going to be cold. Some teens in the lows, 20s and 30s for highs, and some snow here the next couple of days.
You need to get an affiliate up there so you can tell them that there's a radio station in St. Louis, Missouri, that is always very concerned of their well-being.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to have to just rent an RV and go up there one day and see what happens.
There's a lot of Montana up there, so go ahead.
So much Montana up there.
Yeah.
All right, so just to recap on Thursday, we look at the forecast here from AccuWeather, and there could be some rain that could turn into wet snow. That, you're saying that even if that happens, it's going to be warm enough where you may see some light white out the window, but it's not going to be accumulating. You're not going to see it on the ground.
Very much so. That is correct.
That makes me happy.
Me too.
Worst case scenario, we'll just get to a nice little picture. And won't that be, it'll be like you look out the window, it's the Norman Rockwell picture. Everything will look so serene, nice. Hopefully you'll be warm and bundled up. Now, it may not be good to look at the time this is coming down because they say late afternoon. That's what, rush hour traffic time this would start?
Yeah, it looks like the best chance will be during the morning hours and it might end actually by mid-afternoon.
Oh, okay. Well, even better. That's
yeah.
Good. Well, at least for me, I'm selfish. I want to know if I'm going to be driving into work Thursday night and we'll have to drive a lot slower because everyone else will be worried about what's coming down. So that's
just
good.
Bundle up because the low is going to be 22 the next morning.
Oh, long johns. That's what
yes.
You're recommending.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever. Warm weather. For sure.
Matt Rindy, AccuWeather meteorologist. Thank you so much for coming on and having some fun with us here tonight on KMOX.
As always, it is my pleasure.
He's great. Matt's awesome. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. We'll take a look at that forecast one more time coming up in just a moment. And there's one other thing I wanted to read you is that op-ed from Piers Morgan over in the UK talking about John Legend. Oh, my, this is great. You're going to love it. It's Overnight America KMOX. Back. Just a reminder, you can follow along on Twitter at Ryan Recker. That's how you find me there. And you can also go to our podcast directly at kmox.com/ONA. Kevin Kalina had another great whole nother story I wanted to share with you. The Budweiser Coast. I haven't actually listened to this, but the title by itself sounds pretty funny. We talked to ghosts on Halloween Eve last week, and I don't want to spoil too much, but I heard back from John Lindsay, who said, oh yeah, you're not alone in that studio. So apparently I'm surrounded by spirits and ghosts and things in here, and it should concern me, he says. I need to watch out for my well-being. Well, he didn't actually go that far. I'm just joking on that part, but please, any ghost here, do not find offense to that. All right, so I wanted to read to you this op-ed from Piers Morgan over in the UK. And I wasn't a big fan of Piers Morgan when he was on CNN. He's the one that took over for Larry King. Bombed. I mean, it was a bad, bad, bad thing. So you find out, in general, it might not have been Piers Morgan. It might have been the network itself, because Larry King kind of had this built-in audience, familiarity, curiosity. Piers Morgan wasn't those things. So it's kind of hard to just do a switcheroo. So he goes over to the UK. He's doing like their Today Show, their version of the morning show there. And he's pretty good on it. I think he has a pretty good understanding of some of the nonsensical things that society is trying to push on other people and shove down their throat. And I like that he'll call those things out. We're not used to seeing those things on morning discussions here on network television, but he's able to do that over in the, I think it's on the BBC's on. But so Piers Morgan, and he wrote this op-ed. It says, if St. John Legend's so worried about inappropriate song lyrics, why doesn't he leave Baby It's Cold Outside alone and rewrite all of the far more sexist filth spewed by his rapper friends? Whoa. This is actually a really great point. Just recently, John Legend has taken it on himself to rewrite the song Baby It's Cold Outside. If you remember back last year, was it? The radio station in Cleveland said, oh yeah, we've taken a lot of different calls, and we've decided it's best because of the context of the lyrics of the song make it sound like he's about to date rape this woman, this Baby It's Cold Outside, the song from 1949's movie Neptune's Daughter. Absolutely ridiculous. But what happens is some woke person online decides, through the context of whatever wokeness glasses they're wearing that morning, we're going to put a different understanding onto this song, and we're going to try to force it to make it sound like it's something that it's not. And you know what? A lot of people fall for that stupid, stupid trap, and they believe it, and they go out there and say, well, we're going to try to go out there and ruin this based on their false interpretation of what it is. And I think a lot of people have understood that, but however, it did cause people to change things, and it's even at the point where this musical personality, one of the top musical personalities in the country by the name of John Legend, is going to go out with Kelly Clarkson and rewrite this song so it's more appropriate for all ages in today's society, and it's so stupid. So here's what Piers Morgan writes in his op-ed. Says, John Legend, along with his model wife, Chrissy Teigen, is Hollywood's self-appointed virtue signaler-in-chief. Says, my favorite festive holiday song is Baby It's Cold Outside, immortalized in the 1949 movie Neptune's Daughter. It's a joyous celebration of flirtation as a handsome, charming man tries to persuade a beautiful, charming woman to stay with him on a wintry night. He says, there's nothing sleazy about it, or even remotely problematic, to quote the ghastly buzzword of modern-day political correctness. And he goes on to say, it was fun, playful. Both the man and the woman are completely in control of their own actions during the mutually enjoyable and consensual experience. So, you know, he has to point these things out, just to how stupid things have gotten, to lay the groundwork to his next point, which he said, to the 99.9% of all of those who have heard these lyrics, particularly in context of the film clip, they are perfectly sweet and innocent. But the 0.00001% of super woke, permanently offended virtue signalers out there, this is in fact a sickening depiction of sexual harassment or even sexual assault. To them, the man's obviously a disgusting monster, refusing to understand that no means no, who has slipped some kind of Bill Cosby-style drug into the woman's drink in an effort to render her unconscious so he can attack her. That's what some people try to make it. So he goes on into this opinion, and he makes a point that I think is genius. But he's right to say 99.9% don't find a problem with it. You know how just recently there was that raid on Area 51 where people go online and they said, you know what, this sounds like a great idea. We're going to get all the secrets and we're going to find all the aliens and they can't stop us all philosophy on Area 51. People would go online and by the millions said they're going to raid Area 51. Well, the person started it as a joke. It snowballed at a complete, I mean, just out of just control. And even the creator said it was a stupid joke that he decided to do, that he got gravely concerned that some idiots would actually try this and get hurt. So he immediately came out and said, hey, this is not a real thing. Please don't do this. Well, they decided to try to capitalize on it. They did a festival. Some people showed up. It was pretty much a bust. And really, no one ended up getting hurt, which is a good thing. But what you find is that when the internet's involved, they'll take these stupid things, they'll grab onto them, and they'll make it their own personal mission, and they'll try to push the ball as far as they can down the field without actually scoring. I guess that's a football analogy, but still. I think it's so crazy and dumb, and I think everyone else does. However, there's people online that are inflating this into what makes it look like a bigger problem than it actually is. To the fact that celebrities are at the point where they buy into the fanaticism that this is a terrible, horrible, sexually abusive song, and that they have to remake it for today's society so people can enjoy it. They're not doing it as a joke. They're not doing it as a joke at all. They're not doing it because it's tongue-in-cheek. They're doing it because they think the original is actually what Piers Morgan said in his op-ed here. They believe the original, that the man is a disgusting monster. He doesn't understand no means no. He's slipping some kind of drug into the woman's drink. He's trying to get her to be unconscious so she can be sexually attacked. That's what they actually believe. So this is what Piers Morgan said. John Legend, now that he's doing this, writing the new version with other people who are going to be performing it with Kelly Clarkson, on it said, at this stage, it's worth remembering how Mr. Legend remembered how himself got in touch with Miss Teagan. Okay, they met on the set of a music video he was doing called Stereo. Okay, she was a model dancer as part of this. He was the most powerful man on the set, the star, effectively the boss. She was an impressionable 21-year-old model hired to work alongside him. Miss Teagan told Cosmo several years later, I walked into John's dressing room to meet with him, and he was ironing his underwear. After the shoot, she says, they went back to his hotel room and hooked up. Piers Morgan makes the point, I'm not an expert on the whiter-than-white standard of super woke behavior, but Legend and Teagan's own yardstick, isn't that even highly problematic? Older, powerful boss sleeping with a younger employee after they work together? He said the CEO of McDonald's just got fired for doing that exact same thing. I know Pierce is making some really good points here, and I know he's doing this tongue-in-cheek because of just how stupid and absurd this thing is, but he's making some pretty funny and good points. And then he said, that all pales in comparison to the insignificance of the shockingly sexist lyrics of his many current rap and pop star buddies. So I'm going to read to you some lyrics of songs that are performed by his friends. And I'm going to just use the word blank very often because it's words that I don't want to be taken out of context with. It says Snoop Dogg saying, blank ain't blank, but blank in tricks, blank on these blank and blank the blank. Okay, you can, I'm telling you, don't Google it. Kanye West song, I know she's like chocolate men, she's got more blank than the blank. Okay, Eminem saying, blank you think, I won't choke no blank till the vocal cords don't work in her throat no more. And as for Pharrell Williams and Blurred Lines, which he collaborated with Robin Thicke, he's since admitted the lyrics, including, I hate these blurred lines. I know you want it. We're very, quote unquote, rapey. So John Legend, he's friends with all of these other artists that are putting these songs together. And all of these other composers, they wrote these songs, the originators of these songs. What's interesting? Why hasn't he suggested rewriting any of those lyrics instead of a 1940s song? Why wouldn't he go to his artist friends and say, you know, you need to rework this because obviously, this is a problem. He says, with most woke campaigns, this one is riddled with hypocrisy. Way to go, Piers Morgan. I absolutely love that. I thought he nailed it there. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, boy. So fun. Want to thank all of our guests that came on the show tonight. And you can find those by going to our KMOX.com/ONA. Right there on the podcast, we post them right up for your own enjoyment. You know what we're going to have on the show tomorrow is Brian Kilmeade. He's got a new book called Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. I probably could have aired this interview. It's a little radio breaking the fourth wall for you. So Brian Kilmeade has this book coming out, and we know that his time will be very limited. He does Fox and Friends. He does his own nationally syndicated radio show. He does a lot of different things. Appearance-wise, he was going to be booked on the biggest shows the week of. So he's on tonight with what's-his-face? I can't think of his name over on Fox. Why can't I think of it? Tucker Carlson. So he's with them tonight, and, you know, he goes to the Hannitys, and he does his thing on Fox, and he does all these other interviews with the big shows. But in order for a guy like me doing the local show in St. Louis, Missouri on KMOX, I get the opportunity, but it has to be when he's got time for it. And it just so happened I interviewed him probably like 4 weeks ago, and they said, well, you can't air the interview until the week of the book coming out, which comes out tomorrow, which is perfect for us, because then we get to air it tomorrow night. Good old Brian Kilmeade on the show, which is really neat that we get to do that. And he's coming to St. Louis. Well, no, he's coming to St. Charles in the St. Charles Public Library, the St. Peter's branch, on the end of the month. I think it's November 22nd, which is pretty cool. And I think there's tickets available. Our sister station is hosting that one because they air his radio program on there. Haven't listened to this one yet, but Kevin Killeen did a whole nother story on the Budweiser ghost, and I am so interested in finding out more.
I invited myself over to meet Mary and Rick Clemens after hearing the story of how they live in the house on Wyoming near Gus's Pretzels that was once owned by a woman in the famous 1907 Budweiser Girl poster.
She was the second Budweiser Girl. She was, you would know her as the lady in red. If you see the poster, a woman in a red velvet dress, that is Mrs. Schofield.
And Mrs. Schofield is still here?
Mrs. Schofield is still here.
Dora Schofield was a real person who went on to work as the private secretary of four consecutive Anheuser-Busch presidents. She died in 1960, and the Clemens later bought her old house.
My daughter, when she was approximately 2 years old, would sit up in her bed, and she would reach up to the light fixture in the middle of the room.
Talking to light fixtures, like up towards the ceiling.
She'd pull things down to her mouth as if she's eating something.
And we'd see her putting things in her mouth.
We'd ask her, well, what are you doing? And she'd say, the lady. And we'd say, well, what lady?
Then they had twins, and something happened one night.
And I was changing Gracie's diaper. I was in the hallway on the floor on the carpet, and I was changing her diaper. And the other twin, Bethany, starts tapping me on the shoulder, tapping me. I'm like, Bethany, what is it? Mom, there's a lady. I said, there's a lady. She goes, yes, there's a lady. I said, well, show me where she is. And she goes, I'll show you. And I finished changing Gracie's diaper, and I walked. She takes my hand and walks me down the hall into a little dressing room and points to the corner of the room and says, she's right there, Mom. And I immediately said, well, we're all going downstairs.
Here comes the king, here comes the big number.
The family got an idea of what they thought was going on when they took a relative on an Anheuser-Busch brewery tour. There on the wall in a memorabilia section was a picture of the lady who used to own their house, Dora Schofield, and their daughter came by and saw it.
And I said, Alex, who's that? And she looks at the picture, never seen it before, and she said, that's the secretary that lives in our house.
With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
How about that? The Budweiser ghost? What? I would like to find out some of the weird things that are going on in this studio. So we're going to have to welcome John Lindsay back in soon enough. He's said he's going to analyze the audio that he recorded here in the studio on the eve of Halloween last Wednesday, and we'll replay it for you. We got a couple of more minutes left. One other story I didn't get a chance to get to. I'll just mention it now. KSDK's warning that, or at least they did a report, a police warning that there's a Maplewood mechanic scam going down. Police in Maplewood warning residents, multiple reports of man trying to scam people out of money in parking lots. So the man would approach people claiming their car had a loose wobbly wheel and claiming he can fix it in exchange for cash. Police said they think the man actually caused the problem himself before talking to the drivers. In the reported cases, he charged anywhere between $50 to $300. He was seen driving a Mercedes-Benz S550 with a temporary Missouri license plate, often seen riding around with a woman in the car. Is it just the time of the season for more personal scams? I'm not saying that I've seen an uptick, but the strange thing is I had two people come to my door today soliciting for services. I normally don't get that. I normally get zero people. It's pretty rare, but I had two people in one day. And I thought, that's something. It's a little out of the ordinary. So they say anyone that has been approached by this man, you should refuse his offer and then call Maplewood Police or dial 911. It's weird that the police say dial 911. That doesn't seem like an emergency situation, but they say this is part of the story. If you have any information about him, you can. But is there anything that someone walking up to you in a parking lot trying to solicit a service that you would say yes to? Like if someone came up to you and said, I got some really nice watches out of the back of my trunk. You want to come take a look at them? Or, highly discounted steak. Come take a look in this van over here, kid. I've been told that you should always say no to those type of things. And if someone came up to me and said, I'll fix this for you right on the spot for X amount of dollars, you got to know that this is shady. Super shady. Same thing with some of the door-to-door people. You find that, they could be honest. They could be out there and just trying to make a couple of extra bucks around the neighborhood. But this is what I find. If you don't know who they are, and you've lived in your neighborhood long enough to know some of the families and know the kids and recognize some of these kids. If you've never seen them before and they're just driving into your neighborhood trying to solicit services to you, probably best not to risk it, honestly. I don't think it's a good idea. Well, that does it for us here at Overnight America. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. This is what I would ask for you to do. If you have a smartphone and you haven't done this yet, you could help this radio program. It's a pretty easy way to help it. Search for Overnight America wherever you download podcasts. And it turns out if you have an Apple iPhone and the podcast app on there, that goes a long way because you can search for Overnight America on there. And if you leave a 5-star review, it helps other people discover this radio show. And it makes me look good. And it makes me feel good. I get a little, my heart warms up. And it's very difficult to warm my heart for anything because I got this cold, cold heart. Go online and search for Overnight America. Leave a nice review. And it will go a long way. And it only takes you like a second to do it. And it's absolutely free. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.